Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Who do you think will win the football later?
That's a tough one to call. First thing I would say to you is ignore all the paper talk and them TV pundits in their fancy suits. Sorry, son, I didn't mean you. Listen, if you want a sure winner, put your money on... Oh, no! Sandra's back and I forgot to take the bins out.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, I'm locked out.
Very good day to you all. Welcome back to Eye on La Liga, brought to you, of course, by BetVictor. I'm Ollie Wilson. Alongside me once again this week is Mr. Jason Pettigrove as we take a final look. Well, not a final look, but it is the last Eye on La Liga show brought to you by BetVictor that Jason and I will be doing for the foreseeable future. But we will be staying abreast of all of the ongoings around European football. So we're expanding our market slightly, Jason.
We are, although my market will still be La Liga. We'll be getting guests in. I think we're going to have some really fantastic people that look at La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, the Premier League. So we're going global, so to speak.
Couldn't have sounded. If you put on a Trump accent for that, that would have fit. We're going global. Okay,
we're going to have
fantastic guests. The best guests coming up on the show. They're all phenomenal. We're covering England. We're covering Germany. We're doing all the big countries. It's fantastic. Yeah. So that's going to be coming up. That's going to be coming up in the next few weeks or so, as we kind of pivot around to taking a look at the whole of the continent and all the main stories going on in football. But we do still have to talk all things Spanish football today, Jason, as we head into an international break with some very successful victories for the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid. Of course, we were slamming Barca a week ago and saying that they've got these struggles. And in the last few weeks, we've been talking about Gallardo perhaps coming in and replacing Ernesto Valverde and how Valverde's fighting for his job. And then, hey, you go ahead, you have a big win on the weekend, and suddenly nobody's really mentioning that anymore. And Ernesto Valverde is coming out this week and said, I don't feel like I'm fighting for my job in any way, shape or form. The 4-1 victory over Celta de Vigo, perhaps just silencing things a little, with Lionel Messi picking up another hat-trick to add to his tally. Sergio Busquets with the goal in the 85th minute to complete the rout in that impressive victory at the Camp Nou.
Yeah, I think if you spoke to supporters, you'd get a bit of a different version. I think there's still the hashtag Valverde out, very popular on their social channels. I just think it's coming to a natural end with Valverde. I'll be very surprised to see him there at the end of the season, but I don't really see much point in getting rid of him mid-season. And I know there's the thing with Gallardo in the background, although speaking to you a couple of days ago, you'd mentioned that you thought he was dismissing the move. I don't know that he has dismissed it, actually. I think he's sort of basically kept his own counsel. He hasn't dismissed it out of hand. He's just sort of said in so many words, it's not the right time to talk about it, which, you know, depending if you're a conspiracy theorist or not, that could be him just saying that maybe he knows something's in the offing, but he can't say anything. Obviously, you've got Koeman in the background as well. Maybe people are putting two and two together and making five with him, but then why would he have a break in his contract with the Netherlands only for Barcelona? You wonder if he's been spoken to. All ifs, buts and maybes with Barca at the moment. I think just concentrate on what's going on the pitch. And as you said, you know, Messi was sensational again, digging Barca out of a hole. Celta were quite good for a while before Barcelona scored. Still top of the table by a thread, admittedly, but, you know, you'd want to be there, wouldn't you, at the top of the table? Albeit they've got a difficult run of fixtures coming now before Christmas and also afterwards with this ridiculous mid-season Spanish Super Cup.
We'll come on to the Spanish Super Cup in just a moment because there's plenty to talk about that. In terms of Barcelona, I mean, I did say this would be the rhetoric over a 7-day period. Barcelona, a club in crisis, poor performances, Valverde out, Messi is the problem. Messi plays down the centre, he prevents Griezmann from being able to play in that more natural role of the Frenchman. And now Messi comes in, scores a hat-trick, everyone's silent, Messi's a hero again, Valverde's fine, nobody's really kicking up any turf around the Camp Nou, and suddenly everything's okay, fine and dandy. It's just one or the other with Barcelona. It's either a dynamic disaster of a problem, or everything's pitch perfect and everything's running ship shape and they're going to win the La Liga title and be the best team in Europe once again. It's exhausting following Barcelona when it's like that. It's like following being around somebody that's bipolar, I imagine. I know many people that are bipolar, but it's just up and down at the extremes of the spectrum every time.
I think from a supporter's point of view, yes. I mean, perhaps inside the club, it's not. What you've got really are a team that, behind the scenes, they certainly say that they're behind Valverde, and when they verbalise it to the media, they don't want anyone other than Valverde. Josep Bartomeu, more than happy with Valverde as his coach. A lot of it, I think, is, you know, media writing stories, social media, sort of banter backwards and forwards, perhaps making more out of it than it should be. When you actually drill down and look at it, I mean, I think Griezmann didn't play particularly well. He was given the opportunity that he's craved by not being put out so wide on the left or right. Didn't really do much. I think he only played about 21 passes in the entire game. So there's always going to be issues at these big clubs. And I agree, it's sort of quite polarising, isn't it, with Barcelona at the moment, all or nothing. But at the end of the day, I suppose, if they go on and win trophies, then this will just be looked back on as perhaps a blip.
Certainly will. In terms of the Gachado talk, just can elaborate a little more on that, because he said that he doesn't think that a move is going to happen. He's not looking at a Barcelona job in any way, shape or form. Obviously, all focus for him is with River Plate and the Copa Libertadores final coming up later on this month. But for Gachado and for Ernesto Valverde, if you're saying that you think Valverde will see out the season, that means Gachado probably isn't going to come. Only because of the way the season falls in South America. So at this point, if Gachado wins the Libertadores, that's the perfect time to leave. After November, come in December, January, take the reins, have a transfer window, start the job. Instead, if that doesn't happen, the next time Barca will have a chance to bring him in the summer, as long as Valverde sees out the rest of the year, Gachado will be in the midst of another Libertadores campaign. And that is the prize for River Plate. I mean, if River win it this year, that's two in a row under Gachado, 3 in 5 years, which is an insane achievement, which goes unnoticed in European football. If he is in the middle of a potentially successful Libertadores campaign and a chance to win 3 in a row, which is unfathomable at this level in South America, he's not going to leave Barcelona for that. That would take Gachado on this continent, and particularly at River Plate. He's already a hero. They're already building a statue of him outside the Monumental. But it would take him to astronomical levels, almost a deity for River Plate and their fans, if he won 3 in a row Libertadores as a manager. So for Barca, if they are going to have him, if they want to get him, it's either this December, January, or next December, January. It's not in the summer at all.
I think the next one would be more likely, if at all, because I think what you have, as good a coach as he obviously is, he's still untried in Europe, and he doesn't know the Barca way, if I can put it like that. Valverde is a very safe coach, which has always been the issue with him, but that's what Bartomeu liked about him when he employed him, and that's what he still likes about him. He's a calming presence, not particularly exciting, and that's been really the crux of the issue with supporters particularly. And I don't see the point of changing it coming up for, and unless Barca were to lose a number of games in a row between now and Christmas, and there's perhaps a justification to say, look, maybe we should be looking at someone else now rather than,
but we said last week that there's a big problem at Barca, there's a long-term problem at Barca. I mean, both you and I were talking about that 7 days ago, that there is this issue, and a managerial change can certainly change that, because you wouldn't perhaps be going, and I'm not saying to have Gachado, but anybody else coming in who isn't so closely linked and isn't considered a safe choice for Barcelona might be a way of ending this period of bipolarism, if you will. You know, actually make some stable ground in terms of rebuilding a side that is slowly seeing the fire draining out of them.
But then you have to think of who's available and who would come. certainly Mourinho's available, but there's no way.
Not a chance.
Absolutely not a chance of that happening. The only other name I can possibly think of is Arsene Wenger. I think he's very well respected still. He's getting on a bit, but I think he'd potentially be a good solution. Again, there's still this Koeman thing in the back of everybody's mind, and I'm almost certain they're probably thinking, give Valverde the season and then ease Koeman in after the Euros.
Could possibly be the case. What about a former Barcelona manager perhaps going elsewhere? You mentioned Arsene Wenger. I mean, this would be peculiar, with Luis Enrique suddenly being tentatively linked to the Arsenal job that Unai Emery is currently in charge of, the former Sevilla manager. You just mentioned Arsene Wenger going to Barcelona. It'd be very odd to see Wenger in the dugout of Barca and Luis Enrique in the dugout at the Emirates. But there is a half chance that perhaps someone like Luis Enrique could go into Arsenal and provide the shape, because there's a lot of Arsenal fans very frustrated with Unai Emery, the handling of the club. They've had everything that has gone on with the Granit Xhaka incident as well. But do you think Luis Enrique is the right man to perhaps walk into a job like Arsenal? Do you think there's any truth behind the rumours that he might be lined up to be the next man to take on the Gunners?
The honest answer to that last question is I don't know, but I can understand perhaps why they would be thinking about him, because he's got a bit more of a hard-line approach, which really is exactly what Arsenal need. We know he had arguments with Neymar and Messi, and yet he still kept that group together and took them on to win the treble. You know, Arsenal are not playing well. They're too soft in certain areas. You've got Emery falling out with Ozil, stripped Xhaka, as you say, of the captaincy. That could have been handled better. And I think one of Emery's flaws, something he's been accused of before, is not being brave. And we sort of saw that, didn't we, with the 6-1 against Barcelona. That's the prime example. So I can understand the rumours. Personally, I think it's a non-starter. Obviously, Luis Enrique's daughter died not so long ago. So for me, if he is going to come back into football, which I guess he will do eventually, it's not going to be for at least another year. I think the likelihood of him going to Arsenal any time before next August isn't going to happen. Longer term, I could see it happening, absolutely. But not now. It's the wrong time. Right man, wrong time.
So what you're saying is, with both of these managerial debates right now, we're actually probably jumping the gun by at least 9 months or so, even talking about this, as are the Spanish press that seem to be throwing out these ideas.
Never say never in football. Biggest cliche of all. But if you're asking me my opinion, yes, that's my opinion. So next summer, I think we'll see a bit of a merry-go-round, not before.
All right, Jace, what's your opinion then on Karim Benzema? Because 11 goals to start the season, two more on the weekend in the 4-0 victory for Real Madrid over Eibar. And the Frenchman, who, again, is another person who in football seems to have a bipolar relationship with the fans of Real Madrid. They either love him or loathe him. There's no nice middle ground. They've got to be loving him right now for the start to the season that he's had. He's been absolutely fantastic this year.
I saw a great stat, actually. You're going to love this one. He scored more goals for Real Madrid than Cristiano Ronaldo has for Juve since Ronaldo moved to Italy. So I think what that shows, you know, the freedom that he has to play now, it's like the shackles have been taken off. You know, players are serving him rather than him having to serve Ronaldo, defer to him. So every game, almost. He's scoring all types of goals. He's the leading scorer in the Liga with 9 goals. Messi and Suarez, I think, have only got 8. And he just gives Real Madrid something different to anyone else in their attack. You know, Hazard has dribbling at pace. Rodrigo has already shown in the short time he's been there, he's got decent finishing ability. Vinicius isn't really doing enough for me at the moment to justify a starting place. And Bale, when he's on song, has pace and an eye for goal. I suppose Benzema lacks pace, but in every other facet, he's more than the equal of his contemporaries. And he's a great target man as well. So yeah, I'm really pleased to see it, because he has been a fantastic servant for Real Madrid, and now I think he's getting the rewards with Ronaldo not being there.
He's moved ahead of Ferenc Puskas in the scoring records, and now with 157 goals for Real Madrid. He also moved on to 50 European goals for Real Madrid last week with 2 strikes against Galatasaray in the Champions League, taking him ahead of club legend Alfredo Di Stefano. I mean, you can't deny the shift he's put in as a servant at that club. And considering he's had to battle with, You know, there was the Benzema or Higuain conversation when he was first there, and he's dealt, as I say, with fans that have been really on his back and been really overly critical at times of him when his performances have been poor, and he's not been a fantastic striker throughout this whole time. He's just been in the shadow, as you mentioned, of Cristiano Ronaldo, of Gareth Bale when he was in his pomp, and you could argue he's having a return to that form this season despite being dropped a lot by Zidane in the last few weeks. But Benzema, I think, is one of those players that's just got down and kind of done his duty and filled in quietly in roles where he's not used to be playing, and has sometimes been the creator as opposed to the goal-scoring threat. And now he's getting a chance this season to provide those finishing touches. As I say, 11 on the year so far for Karim Benzema and his fantastic start to the season. It's surprising because normally at this point of the year we'd be thinking, are people looking to try and move Benzema away from Real Madrid? And there doesn't seem to be any sign of that at all.
I think football people know what Benzema brings to the game. I think they've always known, but he has always been in Ronaldo's shadow. Now he's being allowed to fully express himself. Of course he's an asset. And I think a lot of the time as well, supporters are informed quite a lot by what they read in the media. They form their own judgments often by what they read. If you just look at him as an individual, as a player, he's up there. He's one of the best in Europe. There's no way Real Madrid should be looking to get rid of him.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, Jace, we do have the Spanish Super Cup coming up, the revamped format of the competition, and a competition that is moving out to Saudi Arabia as well to play games, obviously, with Atletico Madrid taking Barcelona in the semi-final, Real Madrid taking on Valencia in the other semi-final, and then the winners of that meeting, of course, in the final. Jace, what, first and foremost, have you seen in terms of the fans' opinion to the revamp of the competition, to taking it away from Spanish soil? We've seen French football in recent years move their kind of their French Super Cup out to various destinations around the globe, including China, in pre-season football. But to do it in the middle of the season, or pretty much in the middle of the season, and to extend the number of games in it, and to change it around in this way, it seems very much like La Liga is going for broke on the "we need to sell our brand to the world now."
I think supporter-wise, it's almost universally been decried, because you've got those four teams, one of whom, Barcelona, that will be in the midst of a quite a difficult run of games before and after, so it doesn't really suit them at all. But from a supporter point of view, it now means directly after Christmas, if you want to go and watch those teams in what are sure to be very good games, you've now got to get out to Jeddah to watch them, which to me is ridiculous. Well, money talks, doesn't it? It reminds me of that Steve Vai song from about 1989, Dirty Cash. I mean, that is, to me, what it's all about, just money. You could have left it as a pre-season game. It's always worked quite well. One home leg, one away leg in the final, winner takes all. There was no need to make it into an all-singing, all-dancing Final Four like basketball does. But it's what it's going to be for the next 3 years, and everyone's just got to get used to it. But, you know, personally, I'm not a fan, and I've not spoken to anybody that is a fan, frankly.
Can't imagine the clubs being a big fans of this either, to be honest, with it. As you say, it comes in a bad run of games for Barcelona at that time. But just in general as well, you're looking at early January when most teams want to kind of have that little winter break that they do have to rest, regroup and reformat. And there will be an expectation. Of course, the draw for the semi-finals was made earlier this week. There'll be an expectation for these games to go to Jeddah and to put out strong sides and not treat it as, you know, a runaround to an extent. Because this is a paying capacity crowd that are paying to come and see the best because they think that's what they're going to get. There's more pressure, I think, when you go abroad with these games to put out a stronger side, to appease those fans that are getting to see their heroes close up.
Well, I think abroad or otherwise, at the end of the day, it's a trophy to be won. I think as a club, if you're not putting out a strong squad to win a trophy, then there's something wrong.
If these games are pre-season, it's not treated really like a trophy, is it? I mean, the Spanish Super Cup, it's the Charity Shield equivalent. It's revered a little more than the Charity Shield Community Shield, as we now have to call it, in the UK. But it is still like the yeah, it was the precursor to the start of the season. Let's have a semi-competitive game. Yeah, it's a nice bit of silverware, but nobody's going to be counting that as an iconic piece of silverware that Valverde's won, you know?
No, maybe not. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, maybe it's sort of like, if I can use the phrase, a weaker trophy to win. But it's still a trophy. As a supporter, you want your team to be winning trophies. You pay money, your hard-earned money, to go and see them win trophies, not to put out below-par squads. The one thing I would say as well, going back to your point about sort of an extended winter break almost, normally at this period in January, they have the early stages of the Copa del Rey, don't they? And that's when you do see the big teams put out almost reserve sides. It gives the senior team, like the first 11 effectively, a chance to regroup and to ease themselves back into the new year slowly. I think now with having that at the beginning of January, that's not going to allow the bigger teams to do that. And later on in the season is when you're going to find there are going to be problems.
Could be a slight shambles in terms of... It'd be interesting actually to see what attendances will be like. I'm sure they will be high, because Barcelona and Real Madrid always attract attendances. But it's just interesting the number of sporting events that have gone into that part of the world and really struggled. You look at the athletics in Doha, that there was nobody there for the men's 100-metre final, basically, earlier this year. I know they've had some of the Pakistani, or a lot of the Pakistani cricket in Dubai, and that gets fairly healthy crowds. But there are other tournaments that have taken place that, as I say, haven't exactly packed the stands. So hopefully you'll be seeing at least a decent atmosphere for these games. But it's
all about the money. We're talking about regimes here, that there's human rights issues that we all know about. And yeah, I don't really want to get into that on this podcast. But when enough money is put in front of you on the table, people are just going to lap it up. And that's the thing for me that I find most disgusting. Not just the fact that it's being taken out of the country where it should be played, but that it's going to an area where really they don't deserve it.
But we also, I mean, going into the move, taking it out of the country where it should be played, I mean, we're lucky enough in the United Kingdom to have things like the American football and the baseball coming across from the United States, that the boundaries of countries in terms of being where you can play sport are being reduced time and time again every single year, when we have new ways to be able to travel people and equipment across greater distances, deal with things like jet lag, etc. The globalization of sport is the same as globalization of culture now, and it's probably going to start kind of rapidly speeding up in that sense. You know, we were talking about having games, La Liga games, in the United States, and it is funny how when European leagues have this mention, the idea of taking competitive games and putting them in the USA, putting them in other countries around the globe for financial benefit for the leagues, and football fans go up in uproar about it. No, we can't have that. That's terrible. That's awful for the season ticket holders, for those paying fans. But if you think about it, if you're a season ticket holder at the Jacksonville Jaguars, for instance, in the NFL, you only get 8 games a year. You're playing a few thousand dollars for that season ticket, and you only get 8 games a year. And then one of those games for 5 years is moved to London. That is tough. But
I'm not a fan of any sport moving outside of their jurisdiction, in inverted commas. But maybe I'm just a traditionalist. Maybe we all do have to move with the times. But as I say, it just seems to me it's all about the money. I'd like there to be a sort of a cut-off point where actually someone looks beyond that in the future. But clearly that's sort of just utopia, really, isn't it?
Well, this is something we'll be able to discuss with our guests as we move away from all of the La Liga news and move into the broader spectrum of European football news. Jace, though, thanks for coming on the podcast once again this week and helping me tear down the walls of some of the sports stories from around La Liga, man. And yeah, I look forward to inviting on the new format and digging into a bit of Italian, German and French football with yourself and other guests as well, man.
Look forward to it too. Have a good week.
Cheers, Jace. Thanks very much, man. Remember to follow at BetVictor on Twitter for all of your gambling needs around the international break coming up as the last of the European qualifiers get done. We'll be touching on those perhaps next week. Also looking ahead to the big games around Europe as well. You can follow Jason at Jason Pettigrove on Twitter, at Jason Pettigrove on Twitter, and myself, @O_J_Wilson. You can find the podcast on anchor.fm, iTunes, Spotify, and plenty more places. Like, subscribe, leave us a review, let us know your thoughts, and send any questions on Twitter to Jason or myself. Until next week, enjoy all the football, enjoy the international break, and we'll be back with more in 7 days' time.